And the title of my sermon tonight is Why Do the Heathen Rage? Why do the heathen rage? The Bible says in verse 1, why do the heathen rage? And the people imagine a vain thing. The kings of the earth set themselves and the rulers take counsel together against the Lord and against his anointed, saying, let us break their bands asunder and cast away their cords from us. So first of all, let me just give you the context of this passage, and then we're going to get into the reasons why the heathen rage. But in the context of this passage here, we see that the kings of the earth and the rulers have set themselves up against the Lord and against his anointed. And of course, this is quoted in Acts chapter 4 as against the Lord and against his Christ, because anointed means Christ, anointed, Messiah, Christ. So basically, these people, they hate the Lord, they hate Christ. And it says that the people imagine a vain thing. What is the vain thing that they imagine? Look at verse 3. Let us break their bands asunder. This is what the wicked are saying. Whose bands do they want to break asunder? They're saying, let's break the bands of God and of Christ asunder. Let's cast away their cords from us. Basically, they're looking at God and Jesus Christ as restricting them. You know, imagine being tied up and you have these cords or you're bound, right? And they're saying, you know, let's break their bands asunder. Let's cast away their cords from us. And of course, God laughs at that. That is a vain thing to imagine because of the fact that you cannot get away from God. The God of the universe, the Creator, he's everywhere. If you ascend into heaven, he's there. If you make your bed in hell, he's there. The Bible says you cannot flee from his Spirit. So to say that you're going to get out from under Christ's lordship or you're going to get out from under God's authority is a stupid and vain thing, because God is the ruler, whether people acknowledge him or not. Amen. God rules. And so the Bible here is saying that the heathen, in their rage, in their anger and fury toward the Lord and toward his anointed, they want to do this vain thing of getting rid of God's leadership or his rule or his authority in their life. So why do the heathen rage? Let me ask this. Do the heathen rage in 2019? Do the nations rage today? Well, I can think of a couple nations that are raging at me right now. You know, just in the last 48 hours, I was on the news in the Netherlands and Sweden and Ireland because we planned soul-winning preaching events in these places. And I'm telling you, the heathen are raging. My voicemail is raging right now. My emails are raging. And Ireland is in a rage. That, you know, they're living up true to their name, Ireland, because they're irate, okay? And then the Netherlands is freaking out and melting down. Sweden, every restaurant, of course, that we were going to eat at is panicking and trying to shut it down. They're shutting down our meeting location in the Netherlands. But, of course, we have other backup meeting locations, backup restaurants, backup preachers, backup plans. This is not our first rodeo, and so we're going to get these things done. We're going to do the soul winning and the preaching no matter what. But why do the heathen rage? Why are they so mad? I mean, you know, a Baptist pastor just says, hey, I'm going to come and knock doors, win people to Christ, and preach an encouraging sermon to the faithful, righteous remnant. They freak out, right? Why do they rage? Well, number one, if you would go to Luke 19, number one, they rage because they hate God's commandments. They hate his lordship. They hate his authority. And that's pretty much what we saw in Psalm 2, because the first thing out of their mouth is, man, we just want to break away from his rule, basically. We want to break his bands asunder. We want to cast away his cords from us. You see, we that are Christians, we delight in the law of God. We find his commandments not to be grievous, but that his commandments are a blessing to us because they're a light to our feet. They're a light to our path. They show us how to live our life in a right way, but the world sees them as restrictive. You know, trying to just stop them from having a good time and restrict them, when in reality, it's a fence that's keeping us from going off a cliff, is what God's commandments actually do. So they hate God's commandments. They hate his lordship. They hate his authority. Look at Luke chapter 19, verse 14. This is the parable about Christ, and it says in Luke 19:14, but his citizens hated him. And here's the thing, the people of this world are all God's citizens, whether they like it or not. Right. This is his planet, he owns this earth, he's in charge of it, and his citizens hated him and sent a message after him saying, we will not have this man to reign over us. We do not want him ruling over us. They hate his lordship. How's this going to end for them? Go to verse 27 and see how it ends for those who rage against the Lord and against his anointed. But those mine enemies, this is at his second coming, which would not that I should reign over them, bring hither and slay them before me. See, there's no option of just saying, well, I just don't want to be under God's authority. I just don't want to be under Christ's authority. And sometimes you'll hear the atheists and the agnostics say something like, well, I didn't ask to be born into this universe where, you know, I have to obey God, and who's God to tell me what to do? Hey, God created you for his glory, for his pleasure, for him and by him. All things were created. The Bible says that all things were created and are created for his pleasure. Okay? That would be like if I bought a dog to be a watchdog and the dog just said, well, I didn't ask to be a watchdog. I own you! Right? You're going to eat the kibbles and bits I give you, and you're going to guard my house. That's your function. That's why you exist. And you know what? We exist to bring God glory. Okay? Think about it. Anytime someone produces something or raises them, you know, what if I raised an animal and I raised a cow and I want to milk that cow? That's my cow. I raised that cow. I'm going to milk that cow. I don't want to be milked. You know, somebody builds a car or something and then the car just doesn't want to drive where they want. Folks, the creator owns the creation. All right, God created us. We belong to him. Like it or lump it, that's who you are. You're not God. You are the creature. You need to serve the creator. All right? So otherwise, what's the alternative? Well, be slain. That's what it says in Luke 19. If you think you're going to break your bands asunder and cast away the cords of Christ from you, you're imagining a vain thing. Go to Revelation chapter 11. Revelation chapter 11, why do the heathen rage? Why are they so angry? Why not just say, well, hey, you know, if this preacher wants to come and preach and speak God's word, you know, hey, that's his belief. You know, he has his belief, we have our belief, and we can examine his beliefs and think about it, and if we can choose to accept. No, they're mad. They're enraged. They're angry. You know, when I was a kid, there was a saying that said, sticks and stones may break my bones, but words will never hurt me. Right? Who said that on the playground before? Right? But nowadays, it seems like words are so hurtful to people, they can't handle someone just giving an opinion that's different from the mainstream left-wing liberal opinion. You start giving a biblical opinion about things, and everybody flips out. And you say, yeah, but you said that, you know, the sodomites should be put to death. Well, these people would love to tear me apart limb from limb. You know, they hate me as much as I hate them, folks, because it's just the Bible says that a just man is an abomination to the wicked, and the wicked are an abomination to the just. That's just the way life is, folks. But the Bible says in Revelation 11:17, saying, we give thee thanks, O Lord God Almighty, which art and wast and art to come, because thou hast taken to thee thy great power and hast reigned. And the nations were angry. So you see, when Jesus Christ reigned, then the nations did what? They're angry about that. Why? Because they don't want to have this man to rule over them. So when Christ reigned, the nations were angry. What's God's response? Well, he can get mad too. Oh, the nations were angry? Well, thy wrath has come. And the time of the dead that they should be judged, and that thou shouldest give reward unto thy servants the prophets, and to the saints, and them that fear thy name, small and great, and shouldest destroy them which destroy the earth. The Bible, of course, in Psalm 2, when it said, why do the heathen rage and the people imagine a vain thing? He says, he that sitteth in the heavens shall laugh, the Lord shall have them in derision, then shall he speak unto them in his wrath and vex them in his sore displeasure. So God can answer wrath for wrath and rage for rage. Amen? So they rage at being told what to do. Go to John chapter 7. They're proud boasters. They are covetous blasphemers. And the heathen rage today at Christ attempting to rule and reign and be Lord over his creation. They don't want to be told what to do. They hate all authority or anyone telling them what to do. Number two, why do the heathen rage? Because they hate having their wickedness exposed. So number one, they hate God's commandments. And number two, they hate having their wickedness exposed. Go to John 7, verse 7. The world cannot hate you. This is spoken by Jesus. But me it hateth, because I testify of it that the works thereof are evil. So why did the world hate Jesus? Why did they crucify him? They were angry. They raged because he testified of them that their works were evil. Flip back to John chapter 3. John chapter number 3, a couple pages to the left. And the Bible says, this is right after the famous scripture, John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. Look at verse 18. And by the way, when we go do a missions trip or a soul winning campaign somewhere, we're not there to condemn. You know why? Because the Netherlands is condemned already. Sweden is condemned already. Ireland is condemned already. We're actually trying to pull people out of the fire. We're trying to bring salvation. We're trying to shine the glorious light of the gospel. We're not there to condemn. They're already condemned. But the Bible says in verse 18, he that believeth on him is not condemned. But he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. And this is the condemnation, that light is come into the world. And men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. For everyone that doeth evil hateth the light. That's why the heathen rage, because they hate the light. The Bible says he hateth the light, neither cometh to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved. But he that doeth truth cometh to the light, that his deeds may be made manifest, that they're wrought in God. The heathen rage today because they hate having their wickedness exposed. Go to Ephesians chapter number 5. Ephesians chapter 5. See, Bible preaching shines the light on a wicked world. You see, when you don't hear any Bible preaching, and if you're not reading the Bible, and you just go through your life, and you're surrounded by sinful people, you're a sinful person, everybody around you is doing the same thing, TV is showing you the same thing, radio is showing you the same thing, then you can just tell yourself, hey, I'm just a normal guy. Right? As you indulge in sin. I'm just like everybody else. I'm just a normal guy, normal gal, just a normal kid, normal teenager. And it just makes you feel good about yourself to compare yourself to other people. But then what happens is somebody comes along and says, well, no, this is wrong. Let me show you a more excellent way. Let me show you what's right. Someone preaching what's right, or even just living what's right. It makes people mad. Because now all of a sudden, it's making them look bad, okay? So number one, the heathen rage because they hate God's commandments. But number two, they hate having their wickedness exposed. They prefer the darkness. They don't like that light being shined. And every time a Bible sermon is preached, that's a light that's being shined, okay? Every time a sermon is preached against sin, that's the light being shined on that sin. Look, if you would, at Ephesians 5, verse 11. The Bible reads, and have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them, for it is a shame even to speak of those things which are done of them in secret. But all things that are reproved, what does it mean to be reproved? To be told that you're wrong? He says, but all things that are reproved are made manifest by the light, for whatsoever doth make manifest is light. So the very definition of light is that which exposes or makes manifest, right? It brings that which is in the dark out into the open. That's what light is. Whatever makes manifest is light. And the Bible says not to have fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. And when we reprove them, what are we doing according to verse 13? We're bringing it into the light. Amen. If we say, hey, this is wrong, this is bad, then we're shining a light on it. Right. Yep. And those who do evil, the Bible says, they hate that light. And that is why the heathen rage. Flip over, if you would, to Acts chapter 4. Acts 4 is where the Psalm 2 scripture is actually quoted in the New Testament. So number one, the heathen rage because they hate Christ's lordship. They don't want his authority. They want to break his bands asunder. They want to cast away his cords from them. Number two, they rage because of the fact that they don't want to have their wickedness exposed. They want to dwell in darkness. But number three, the heathen rage today at the boldness of Christians. Boy, there's nothing that makes the heathen rage more than a bold Christian, than bold preaching. Boy, that makes them so mad. They get furious at just the boldness. Somebody who's not afraid of them. You know, they're used to people cowering before them and folding like a deck of cards because sadly, there are so many preachers who are so spineless and they're so weak. They're always on their back foot. They're always on the defense. They're always ready to whine and apologize to this world or to apologize to some backslidden Christian or backslidden preacher. They're always wanting to whine and apologize to the media or apologize for the... Hey, I'm not going to apologize for the truth.
Amen. That's right.
Okay?
Amen.
That's why I've never liked apologetics. It just sounds too whiny and like I'm sorry about something. I'm not sorry about anything. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth.
Yep, right.
Prove it. No, I won't. Believe it or go to hell.
Amen.
The Bible says that Jesus Christ, the Son of God.
Yep.
Where's your proof? The Bible says that Jesus Christ, the Son of God.
Amen.
There's the proof.
Amen.
Right? Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. But the Bible says here in Acts 4, remember, they rage at the boldness of Christians. And before I read that, let me give you this from Isaiah 58:1. Cry aloud, spare not, lift up thy voice like a trumpet, and show my people their transgression, and the house of Jacob their sins. That caused the heathen to rage when you do that. Okay, Amos 5:10. They hate him that rebuketh in the gate, and they abhor him that speaketh uprightly. The heathen rage. But look at Acts 4. This actually quotes the scripture. Look at verse 15. But when they had commanded them to go aside out of the council, they conferred among themselves, saying, what shall we do to these men? For that indeed a notable miracle hath been done by them is manifest to all them that dwell in Jerusalem, and we cannot deny it. But that it spread no further among the people, let us straitly threaten them, that they speak henceforth to no man in this name. And they called them and commanded them not to speak at all, nor teach in the name of Jesus. They think this is a solution. They think, man, if we get these guys and we just straightly threaten them, that'll shut them up. You know, if we beat them with rods, that'll shut them up. If we scourge them, that'll stop them. If we threaten them with jail time or threaten them with death, I mean, they just saw Jesus be killed. They're next. They said that'll work, but look at the response from them. It says in verse 19, but Peter and John answered and said unto them, whether it be right in the sight of God to hearken unto you more than unto God, judge ye, for we cannot but speak the things which we've seen and heard. That's a bold answer. That was a bold response. So when they'd further threatened them, oh yeah, well, we're going to do stuff to you. And you know, a few verses later, they're going to answer and just say, we ought to obey God rather than men, period. Do what you got to do. Well, they don't like that. And it says in verse 21, so when they'd further threatened them, they let them go, finding nothing how they might punish them because of the people. For all men glorified God for that which was done. For the man was above 40 years old on whom this miracle of healing was showed. And being let go, they went to their own company and reported all that the chief priests and elders had said unto them. And when they had heard that, they lifted up their voice to God with one accord and said, Lord, thou art God, which hast made heaven and earth and the sea and all that in them is, who by the mouth of thy servant David hath said, why did the heathen rage and the people imagine vain things? The kings of the earth stood up and the rulers were gathered together against the Lord and against his Christ. So notice, God's people are bold and the heathen rage. Right? Now look at Daniel chapter 3. Here's another example of God's people being bold, standing boldly, preaching boldly, and the heathen raging as a result. Why do the heathen rage? The Bible asks that question. Why do the heathen rage? Well, here are some biblical answers. Number one, because they hate God's commandments. They hate his lordship, his authority. They don't want him to be in charge. Number two, they rage because they hate having their wickedness exposed. And number three, they rage at the boldness of Christians. When Christians are bold, they rage. Look, if you would, at Daniel chapter 3, verse 12. There are certain Jews whom thou hast set over the affairs of the province of Babylon, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. These men, O king, have not regarded thee. They serve not thy gods, nor worship the golden image which thou hast set up. Then Nebuchadnezzar, in his rage and fury, notice the wording, his rage and fury, commanded to bring Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Then they brought these men before the king. Jump down to verse 16. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego answered and said to the king, O Nebuchadnezzar, we're not careful to answer thee in this matter. If it be so, our God whom we serve is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace, and he will deliver us out of thine hand, O king. But if not, be it known unto thee, O king, that we will not serve thy gods, nor worship the golden image which thou hast set up. Amen. Then was Nebuchadnezzar full of fury. Oh, he's furious. And you know, when you're furious, you're not even thinking straight. You start seeing red, and you get, you know, your pulse goes up, and you're in that fight or flight, mainly fight mode. And you don't think straight, so he makes a foolish decision here when he gets filled with rage, because he says, halfway through the verse there, he commanded that they should heat the furnace 1/7 times more than it was wont to be heated. So he's exceeding the safety rating on this furnace. You know, it has a little warning label on it. Don't heat beyond this point. He says, let's make it 7 times hotter than that. And as a result, his own servants end up getting killed. Okay. And by the way, this pictures the fact that the devil doesn't even care about his own servants. He doesn't love anybody. Okay. Right. He's willing to just sacrifice his own minions and his own people in his rage against God's people. And so the heathen rage when God's people are bold. The Shadrach, Meshachs, and Abednegos of this world cause the Nebuchadnezzars to be filled with rage. The Peters and Johns cause the Pharisees and the Sanhedrin and the Sadducees of this world to be filled with rage. Why do the heathen rage? At the boldness of God's people. Boy, they don't like that. But go to 1 John chapter 3, number 4. They rage because they know how rotten they are. They rage because they know how rotten they are. You know, somebody asked me a question recently. They said, which criticisms bother you the most? You know, when people criticize you and attack you or send you a hateful message or something like that, which ones bother you the most? And I said, well, the ones that bother me the most are the ones that have the most truth in them. You know what I mean? I mean, somebody criticizes you and there's no truth at all in it, it's pretty easy to laugh that stuff off, isn't it? Somebody just comes at you with some crazy accusation. You know, Pastor Anderson works for NASA. You know, Pastor Anderson's a Jesuit. You know, Pastor Anderson's a Latter-day Saint. Or, you know, Pastor Anderson is this. Or, you know, I work for the CIA or something. And all these crazy things, those are just fun things. You laugh about those. But when people criticize you about something and you're a little bit guilty or there's a little bit of truth in it, it's a little bit close to home, that's the one that bugs you the most, isn't it? Right? I mean, it's just it's like they hit a nerve sometimes when people criticize you about something that you really are a little bit deficient in, or you need some work in that area, or you're a little off on it, or whatever. And so the reason that the heathen rage when they hear Bible preaching is because the nail is being hit on the head. That's why they rage. That's why they're so infuriated. I mean, if it were true that everything that the Bible is teaching is just a bunch of myths and fables and fairy tales, well, you know, I don't see the heathen raging about, you know, Grimm's fairy tales or Aesop's fables. I don't see anybody raging about those things being read in schools or anything like that. But they don't want the Bible being read in school. Why? Because they know how rotten they are, and the Bible hits that nail on the head, and it really hurts. Go to 1 John chapter 3, 11. It says in verse 11, for this is the message that you heard from the beginning, that we should love one another, not as Cain, who was of that wicked one and slew his brother. And wherefore slew he him? Because his own works were evil and his brother's righteous. Marvel not, my brethren, if the world hate you. They know that they're wicked. And when they see someone who's righteous, they hate him just like Cain hated Abel and wanted Abel dead. And so he says here, his works were evil, his brothers were righteous, and so therefore, marvel not, my brethren, if the world hate you. If you want to live a righteous life, the Bible says all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. Not might suffer, shall suffer persecution. And so it's no marvel. We shouldn't be surprised and say, wow, I can't believe that there's opposition to missions, or there's opposition to a soul winning marathon, or there's opposition to a Bible preaching church being planted, you know, or there's opposition to hard preaching against sin. I mean, you'd think that people would just want people to stand for living a moral life or something. You know, folks, they rage because they know how rotten they are. Their own works are evil. Their brothers are righteous. Go, if you would, to Proverbs 19:3. The fifth reason that they rage is because they blame God for what they've done to themselves. They blame God for what they've done to themselves. You see, every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. God is good, and not even just to his own people. He sends his rain on the just and on the unjust. He's actually good to the unthankful and the evil. God does good unto people, but people blame God for the bad things that they do to themselves, okay? And then they rage toward God. God, why? You did that to yourself, okay? Now, the Bible says in Proverbs 19:3, the foolishness of man perverteth his way, and his heart fretteth against the Lord. So, why is the way perverted? Because of the foolishness of man. So our own stupidity will bring us into a bad place, and then we'll turn around and fret against the Lord. God, why are you doing this to me? No, you did that to yourself. Okay. And they blame God for what they've done to themselves. You don't have to turn there, but Psalm 81 verse 15 says, the haters of the Lord should have submitted themselves unto him, but their time should have endured forever. It's not God's fault. I mean, they should have submitted to the Lord. If they hadn't had a problem with his lordship, if they hadn't had a problem with his commandments, if they hadn't had a problem with him ruling and reigning amongst the children of men, they wouldn't be in the position that they're in. The reason they're being punished, the reason that they're under the curse of God, is that they didn't submit to him. They should have submitted to him, and their time should have endured forever. And they can't get mad at God for the consequences of their own actions. You know, you think about, of course, Romans 1, right? Let's flip over to Romans chapter 1. You know, Romans chapter 1 is that road that the wicked go down on their path to becoming reprobate. And, you know, we talk a lot about the Romans road. This is the other Romans road, all right? One Romans road gets you to heaven, and the other Romans road takes you straight to hell, all right? So Romans chapter 1, here's the Romans road, okay? The wrong Romans road, the one you don't want to get on, okay? Basically, it's one road, just which direction are you going, right? One way leads that way, the other way leads straight down to hell. And so in Romans chapter 1, we see this pathway that the wicked take, where the Bible says in verse 18, for the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness, because that which may be known of God is manifest in them, for God hath showed it unto them. For the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. Because that when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. So whose fault is that? Okay? And the fact that they're not thankful, that implies that there was something that they should have been thankful for, because God does good unto everyone. God has done good unto everyone. He's kind to the unthankful and the evil. He sends his rain on the just and on the unjust. He blesses the heathen. He blesses all men on this earth. But when they knew God, and that's not talking about being saved, of course. This is talking about just having knowledge of God, knowing who God is. Like if I said I knew Brother Fritz, it means that basically I am acquainted with him. He's my friend. I know him, right? Oh, I know her. I know him, right? They knew God, meaning that they have become acquainted with who he is. They have been introduced to him. They have heard the truth. And when they knew God, they glorified him not as God. They were not thankful. And they became vain in their imaginations. And what did the heathen rage? Why did the heathen rage? And the people imagine a vain thing, right? These people are imagining a vain thing. They're becoming vain in their imaginations. And then the last thing is what God did. Their foolish heart was darkened, right? So all these verbs are active verbs because they knew God. They glorified him not as God. They were not thankful. They became vain in their imaginations. And then we have the passive verb, their foolish heart was darkened. So that's what happens to them as a result. And well, why, you know, why would God do that? Folks, why did you be unthankful? Why did you refuse to acknowledge God? Why did you become vain in your imagination? Well, that's why your foolish heart was darkened. You know, why would God turn people over to a reprobate mind? I don't know, because they hate him and reject him and refuse to be thankful and refuse to listen. They should have submitted themselves. The haters of the Lord should have submitted themselves unto him. And then it says in verse 22, professing themselves to be wise, they became fools and changed the glory of the uncorruptible God into an image made like to corruptible man and to birds and four-footed beasts and creeping things. Wherefore, God also gave them up to uncleanness through the lusts of their own hearts. Folks, where did this uncleanness come from? It came from the lust of their own hearts. The foolishness of man perverts his way and he frets against the Lord. Don't blame God for what someone else has done to themselves or for what you end up doing to yourself. You can't blame God for that. And then rage against the Lord. He says in verse 25, who changed the truth of God into a lie and worshiped and served the creature more than the creator, who's blessed forever. Amen. And that's why the religion of these secular, social, liberal types, you know what it's called? It's called humanism. And you know what that ism is? Belief in. Right? If I said Catholicism, I'm talking about believing in the Catholic religion. Buddhism, you know, you're believing in Buddha. Sikhism, you're believing in Sikhi. You know? So what does that mean? Humanism, right? A humanistic philosophy is worshiping and serving the creature more than the creator. Oh, humans! Oh, mankind! Oh, godlike species evolved into such wonders. You know, we're going to the stars. We're going to outer space. We're going to have dominion over this planet and over the galaxy and over heaven itself. Folks, humanism is man worshiping the creature more than the creator, who's blessed forever. Amen. Now, it's more sophisticated than bowing down to a statue of an animal or bowing down to a statue of a human being and bowing down to it and saying that it's Zeus or whatever. But folks, it's the same thing. They're worshiping mankind. They're worshiping their own intellect. They're basically setting themselves up as God. Why? Because they believe that they're the supreme being. I mean, if you take God out of the equation, then man would be the supreme being, right? Who else is supreme? Dolphins? You know, and I'm sure that there are some that would make a case for that. But folks, obviously, out of the creations that are on this earth, man is God's ultimate creation and the supreme creation of God. But guess what? We're still the creature and he's the creator. Amen. And so humanism is worshiping the creature more than the creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. For this cause, God gave them up unto vile affections. For even their women did change the natural use into that which is against nature. And likewise also the men, leaving the natural use of the woman, burned in their lusts one toward another. Men with men, working that which is unseemly, and receiving in themselves that recompense of their error which was meet. And then they rage against the Creator. They rage against the Lord because they received the recompense that was meet, because they received a just punishment that they deserve. Whatever diseases that they're filled with, they earned that. They deserve that. That is what is meet. Meet means suitable, fitting, appropriate. That's the judgment that is meet. That's what they receive. Don't get mad at God when they receive that. Praise the Lord. Amen. He's blessed forever. Amen. Amen. No matter what these people do, right? That's why that's just thrown in there in the middle at the end of verse 25. And so when they split hell wide open, even so, amen. Amen. Because that is the recompense of their error that is meet. Now, we want to reach them while we can. We want to get people saved before it's eternally too late.
Amen.
We love people. We want to pull them out of the fire. We want to get them saved before it's eternally too late. Amen. Because there comes a time when it is eternally too late. And at that point, we can't just keep weeping over those who are doomed. At some point, we have to say, okay, you know what? That's what they deserve. God was just. Now it's time to move on and save the people that can still be saved and rejoice in the Lord and in His goodness and in His people. It's sort of like when Samuel just kept weeping for Saul even after God had rejected him as being king. And he said to Samuel, you know, how long are you going to weep for Saul? Go anoint David. Move on. Okay? He was punished. He deserved to be punished. God was right to take Saul out of that position. God was right to remove His Holy Spirit's power and anointing from King Saul. God was right when He killed King Saul and his sons on Mount Gilboa. Everything God does is right.
Amen.
So praise the Lord for it. And don't rage against the Lord when people do things to themselves and try to say, oh, why did God do that to them? They did it to themselves. Everyone who loves God shall be blessed. All things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to His purpose. If you want things to go well, love God. If you want your country to be blessed, love God. Serve God. Honor God. If you want the curse of God, then reject Him and try to break His bands asunder and try to cast away His cords from you. And by the way, these countries that have banned us and banned the soul winners that we send over there and banned missionaries and things like that, they've not been blessed. You think those countries are being blessed? You know, we're banned from Botswana and South Africa. Those countries aren't being blessed. Those countries are being cursed. They've had droughts and famines and curse of God on them. They're not going to be blessed until they get right with God, period. They rage because they blame God for what they've done to themselves. So, five reasons why the heathen rage. And if you would go to Psalm 2, is number one, they hate God's commandments. They hate His lordship. They hate His authority. Number two, they hate having their wickedness exposed. They don't like the light shined on their wickedness. Number three, they rage because of the boldness of Christians, the boldness of preaching. Boy, that gets them mad. They're so used to going to the athletes. And they take back what they said about sodomites and, oh, I'm so sorry. Here, let me take a class where I can learn to be more sensitive. Or here, let me get in this class where I can get some diversity training. And they fall all over themselves to apologize. I'm an idiot. I'm stupid. You're wonderful. You know, and they're so used to going to the actors and they apologize and fall all over themselves. They go to the TV preachers who accidentally preach hard for a second, and it's, you know, they get them to apologize, and they're sorry, and they take it back. You know, and then when they come to an actual Bible-believing preacher that won't take it back, when they come to a Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego that won't bow down, right, even just a layman that is just saying, hey, look, I'm not going to violate the Word of God.
Amen. Yeah.
I'm going to do what's right. I'm not going to violate God's Word. You know what? That makes people mad. You know, the heathen rage at that. It's not just preachers, folks. It's man, woman, boy, and girl. All that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. You know, there are going to be times when you're just living your life, doing the right thing. I mean, look, you'll just decide to homeschool, and the heathen will rage. What do they care, right? You know, you start going to church three times a week. And the heathen will rage and say, you know, it's too much, you're crazy, you're over. Why does it matter to them? Because it's shining the light on them. They don't like that. They don't like to realize that their life has no meaning and that you're actually doing something with your life by serving the Lord, which is the purpose of life.
Amen.
Serving God is life. Christ is our life.
Amen.
The rest is just details. Okay? And number four, they rage because they know how rotten they are. They rage because the preaching hits so close to home. They rage because the Word of God's got their number. Because the Bible is describing them as accurately as if it were written this morning. That's how accurate and relevant and up-to-date the Bible is. It's as if it were being written again every single day, even though it's thousands of years old. We see it being played out before our eyes on a daily basis. And number five, they rage because they blame God for what they've done to themselves. And they blame God for that. So let's look at Psalm 2 again now. It says in verse 1, "Why do the heathen rage and the people imagine a vain thing? The kings of the earth set themselves and the rulers take counsel together against the Lord and against his anointed, saying, let us break their bands asunder and cast away their cords from us. He that sitteth in the heavens shall laugh. The Lord shall have them in derision. Then shall he speak unto them in his wrath and vex them in his sore displeasure. Yet have I set my king upon my holy hill of Zion. I will declare the decree. The Lord hath said unto me, thou art my son, this day have I begotten thee. Ask of me, and I shall give thee the heathen for thine inheritance, and the uttermost parts of the earth for thy possession. Thou shalt break them with a rod of iron. Thou shalt dash them in pieces like a potter's vessel. Be wise now, therefore, O ye kings. Be instructed, ye judges of the earth. Serve the Lord with fear and rejoice with trembling. Kiss the Son, lest he be angry, and ye perish from the way when his wrath is kindled but a little. Blessed are all they that put their trust in him." You know what I love about the psalm is he starts out with the heathen's rage, which is a joke that he laughs at. And he ends up with his rage and says, you know what, even when I just get a little bit angry, you know, here you are just raging. Ah, you know, I mean, when you hear the word rage, that's not just anger. That's another level, right? I mean, if you said, boy, he was in a rage. I mean, you picture someone that's losing control. They're so mad. They're just foaming at the mouth, seeing red, screaming, yelling, throwing things. I mean, that's what you think of when you hear the word rage. So mankind is in a rage. God laughs at it, and it's a joke to him. At the end of the chapter, Jesus Christ's wrath is just kindled a little bit. And the whole world, the kings, the rulers should all be shaking in their boots that he just got a little bit mad. Okay, that's what this passage is teaching. Okay. Now, in conclusion, what is the takeaway from the sermon? Because we could talk about, hey, the heathen are raging and we're God's people. They're wicked, and we could say, you know what? We know that we're of God, and the whole world lieth in wickedness. And you know what? That's true. That is the situation. Christians are the children of God, the sons of God, and you know what? These wicked, God-hating reprobates are the sons of the devil. Okay? I mean, that's what the Bible says.
Amen.
And then there are a lot of people that are neither sons of God nor sons of the devil. They're still up for grabs. You know, and the devil's trying to get them and take their soul to hell. We're trying to get them and take their soul to heaven, right? By getting them the gospel of Jesus Christ, getting them to believe on Jesus Christ that they might be saved. So that's, of course, an important aspect. But the Bible also teaches that we as Christians should not be like unto the heathen. When he talks about the heathen, for example, in Matthew chapter 6 with their vain repetitions, you know what he says about the heathen? He says, you know, that's what the heathen do. He says, be not ye therefore like unto them. So what I want to close my sermon with is that we should not be like unto the heathen. So how can we as Christians apply this sermon to ourselves? Right? Understanding why the heathen rage, understanding why they're blowing their top all the time in other countries or even maybe in your extended family or your workplace or people that you know. Why do they get so mad about you just wanting to live a Christian life or just preach the Word of God? Why are they infuriated? Okay. Well, we understand that, and we can see why, and it'll help give us boldness and help us to understand that it's normal when the persecution comes. But how can we avoid being like them? Because we don't want to be like the heathen that rage for these five reasons, right? So here's how we can not be like them. Number one, we need to love God's commandments. Amen. Love his lordship and embrace his authority. Because we talk about why do the heathen rage? They hate Christ's lordship. They hate his authority. But you know, we even have some Christians sometimes who bristle at God's commandments. They bristle at authority. They bristle at their parents. God-given authority in their life, their mom and dad, their parents, and they don't like that. And they say, man, I just want to break mom and dad's bands asunder and cast away their cords from me. You know what? That's wicked, because the powers that be are ordained of God. And God put your parents in your life, and if you rebel against your parents, you're rebelling against God. Okay? You are rebelling against God. He said, honor thy father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with thee, and thou mayest live long on the earth. You know what that means? If you don't honor your mother and father, God might just kill you. You know, you just might get in a horrible car accident. You might just get some horrible disease. God might just be offended by the fact that you are so disrespectful toward your parents that he might just decide to wipe you out. Right. Or maybe you'll live long on the earth, but it won't be well with you. Folks, if you want to live long on the earth and you want it to be well with you, you have to honor your father and mother. That's what the Bible says. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. So yeah, rah, rah about the bunch of sodomites and weirdos that are raging over in the Netherlands or Sweden or even here in Tennessee, even in Knoxville. I've heard that Knoxville is a very queer-friendly community. Is that true? That's what I've heard. They have an A-plus rating. Hey, guess what? Tempe has 100% rating by the LGBT. I mean, how can you have Faithful Word Baptist Church in your town knocking every door, right? All the members are going to the supermarkets and going everywhere, talking to people, preaching the gospel, preaching the Word of God. You got Faithful Word in your town and you get 100%. You cheated on that test, buddy. That should at least bring you down to a 99 for being a sodomite-friendly town. But anyway, so you know, we'll give Knoxville a break, you know, because there are those in Knoxville who haven't bowed the knee to Baal, right? And so, you know, we need to love God's commandments, love his lordship, embrace his authority. Yeah, the heathen rage. Okay, but what about when you rage against your parents? You know, what about when you raged because the pastor preached against your sin? You know, he hit on your pet sin or your, you know, he got on you and you say, well, he knew that I smoke or, you know, he knew that I was gambling. That's why he preached that big bucks, no whammy sermon or, you know. You know, he knew that I was, you know, the one who dresses that way, and he's getting on my clothing or he's getting on my hairstyle, or, you know, he preached that sermon at me. Well, you know what? Then that just means he loves you.
Right. Amen.
You know, if you're a liar and he preached on lying, great. That's what you need to hear. If you're a thief and he preached on stealing, good. Amen. Well, how dare he? He's a preacher.
Right.
It's his job.
Amen.
And if I guarantee you, he's just preaching the whole Bible. He's not trying to just go through a list of how can I burn so-and-so,
right.
You know. But, you know, I remember the first time I preached a sermon where I hit hard on smoking. There were four people that thought I was preaching specifically against them, and I didn't know any of them smoked. Four people went to my wife and said, is Pastor Anderson mad at me? Because he seemed so mad when he was preaching about smoking. And they're like, I'm the only person that smokes. And he was up there just mad preaching. And my wife's like, you smoke? You know what? Turned out there were four people in the church smoking, and the church only had 25 people in it. And four of them are smoking. Okay? And so I didn't even know that. But I'll tell you what it is that if the preaching hits home, don't rage. Love God's commandments. Love the preaching. Love the boldness. Love the hard preaching. You say, well, I don't agree with everything that was preached. Well, you know what? Join the club, because I've never been to any church where I agreed with every single thing that was preached. I don't even agree with every single thing that's been preached at Faithful Word. You know, sometimes I'll listen to stuff I preached 10 years ago or 12 years ago and think, oh, I was a little off on that. Okay, or what about when other guys in the church fill in the pulpit for me? They might say something where I'm like, I don't know if that's 100% right, or, you know, just little things. Look, you're never going to agree with everything, folks. Even at Faithful Word, you know, I don't even agree with everything. I founded and pastored the church. Now, I agree with 99%, amen? But nobody's perfect. We're all human. You know, when the pastor gets up and preaches, he's trying to edify you. Right. And the thing that's making you mad is typically when it's kind of hitting close to home. So don't be like the heathen that rage at God's commandments. Love his commandments. Love his lordship. And embrace his authority. Yeah. God, you are my Lord. Amen. You are my boss. You are my authority. Right. Lord, what wilt thou have me to do?
Yes, right.
That ought to be the attitude toward Christ. Right. Amen. Right. So number one, love God's commandments. Number two, go to the light. Right? Don't run from the light and hate the light because your deeds are evil. Hey, go to the light. How do you go to the light? By reading the Bible.
Right. Yeah.
Thy word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. Listen to the preaching. Figure out what's wrong in your life so you can change it.
Yeah.
Go to the light. You should want the light to shine and help you clean up your life. Number three, seek out bold preaching, right? Because this is the opposite of my 5 points, right? The 5 points I gave about why the heathen rage, I said, hey, they rage because they hate God's commandments and his authority. You know, they rage because of the fact that they don't want their sin exposed. They rage because they hate it when Christians are bold. You know, we need to be the opposite, where we seek out the bold preaching. We love bold Christians, and we don't listen to cowards who don't take a stand. Why would I want to listen to some preacher who's a coward and refuses to take a stand on the Word of God?
Amen.
You know, as soon as some preacher starts apologizing to sodomites, turn it off and we're done with that guy. Listen to some spineless wimp? I'm done at that point. Number four, be humble. Realize that you're a sinner and walk humbly before God, right? Submit to Him. What the haters of the Lord should have done. Submit yourselves, therefore, to God, right? Resist the devil. He'll flee from you. Humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and he shall lift you up. And then number five, don't blame God for things when they go wrong. Everything he does is for your good. Everything. Now, even if you're a good person and bad things happen, like Job, that was still ultimately for Job's own good. He knoweth the way that I take. When I'm tried, I shall come forth as gold. Hey, we have heard of the patience of Job, and we've seen the end of the Lord, that the Lord is very pitiful and of tender mercy. Okay, the latter end of Job was blessed more than the former, and that was torture, what he went through. I mean, his whole body's covered in sores, and he's scraping himself. His friends are accusing him of sin, even though he's not guilty. His wife tells him to curse God and die. He has 10 children die. I mean, can you imagine having 10 children and they all die? That would be horrific. Even having one child die would be horrible. But can you imagine just having 10 children die? All your servants die. All your wealth gone. All your money gone. You're covered in sores. You're sitting in ashes. And then your three friends come and say, this is your fault. You are hiding some sin. And no, I did. And then Job goes through this big oath where he's saying, look, I did not steal. I did not lust after other women and do all, you know, he's just saying, I didn't do it. And of course, the truth was, he was a righteous man. Obviously, he was not sinless. Obviously, no one is without sin. But he was the most righteous man living on the planet at that time. So he was being as good as a human being can be, okay? And yet bad things happen. But hold on a second. It was all for his good. I guarantee you that right now, if he were asked, would you go through that again? Would you do that again? Or would you prefer that that had not happened? I guarantee you Job would say, you know what? I'm glad I did that. Because that book of the Bible, Job had to be there. And people needed that book. That book needed to be preached for thousands of years. So I can endure this temporal suffering. I can endure this suffering where I go through a time of bereavement. I go through a time of pain and reproach and physical pain. But you know what? He got to see his children again in heaven. And all of his wealth came back. His health was restored. You know, weeping may endure for a moment, but joy cometh in the morning. And none of us have been through anything as bad as Job. And that's why God gives us that extreme example. Okay. So don't blame God. Don't rage at God. Because most of the bad things that happen in our life, we did them to ourselves. Because let's face it, we're not living out the book of Job on a daily basis. You know, every time something bad happens, oh, I'm like Job, you know. Really? No, usually we did it to ourselves, right? And then you say, well, not this, I didn't do this to myself. Well, here's the thing, if you didn't do it to yourself, you know what, then God's just trying you, he's testing you, and ultimately it's for your good. Amen. So don't rage, why would you rage against him for doing something that's ultimately going to be good for you? All things work together for good to them that love God and to them that are the called according to his purpose. Do you love God? Then everything's going to work out great. You have to have faith. You got to believe that. You got to just keep on going forward. Don't rage. Why do the heathen rage? Well, we saw some reasons tonight why the heathen rage. We should not be like unto them. Let us be the opposite of the wicked, God-hating heathens that are just raging at the word of God, raging against the Lord, and raging against his Christ, raging against preachers, raging against man, woman, boy, and girl who love the Lord because their own works are evil and their brothers are righteous. But you know what? Let's examine ourselves and say, hey, do we love God's commandments? Do we want him to be in authority? Do we want him to rule over us? Do we allow his ministers in our life, our parents, right? The pastor, do we allow them to tell us what to change? Do we allow the boss at work to rule us? Or are we mouthy, rebellious, and getting fired from job after job because we don't want to submit to authority in our life? Do we read our Bibles? Do we listen to preaching? Do we seek out the hard stuff? Or are we looking for the wimpy, sissy, watered-down stuff that makes us feel good? Are we humble? Do we realize, hey, we're sinners. We need correction. You know, we're not perfect. We make mistakes. We can hear something that tells us something about ourselves that's negative. And do we realize that everything God does to us is good? And don't blame him when things go wrong because you either did it to yourself or he's taking you through trials to make you better. Let's bow our heads and have a word of prayer. Father, we thank you so much for the assurance that comes from having the Word of God as the rock that we can stand on, the foundation of our faith, Lord. Help nothing ever to shake us or move us, Lord. If the heathen rage and if they threaten us and then they threaten us again and then they threaten us some more, Lord, help us to stand firm upon the rock, steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. Help us to know that our labor is not in vain in the Lord. We thank you so much for this church. We thank you for Pastor Fritz and the way that you've been using him and the people here to get people saved, Lord. It's a blessing to hear about the soul winning that's going on. And Lord, I pray that this church would continue to shine the light in Knoxville, Lord. As the heathen rage, as the weirdos rage in Knoxville, Lord, help this church to never back down, to keep on preaching, keep on soul winning, and to not even let it faze them, but to continue on as the heathen rage. Help this church to laugh in the face of it and continue to do your work. And in Jesus' name we pray, amen.
Amen. Amen.